Father, we thank you, Lord, because we know that the entrance of your word brings in light and gives understanding. To God be the glory. Lord, let your name be glorified in all that we do. The words that come out of our mouth, let them be prepared by the Lord, even as it is said, preparations of the heart and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Glory to God. And we give you all praise and glory now and always in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I want to do this by the grace of God. Holy Spirit, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to me also to do this series that we will be going into, the biblical concept of light and darkness. And we're going to take it easy and go through this series. Right now, I want us to concentrate on the Lord and see what the Lord is saying to us. You know, I want to start out by saying that light is not just a part of God. God is the very light. I'm going to start here in, and as we go through, I want you to follow along with these scriptures. Sometimes it will be a Bible study style. Sometimes it will be preaching style. We'll see what the Lord will do. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Always reading out of the King James. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 is a foundational scripture that I would like to use for this series. And as we go through the series, that scripture will become clearer and clearer by the grace of God. You know, so let's start here at verse 1, actually. Well, verse 5 is where we're going. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Glory to God. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship, glory to God, with us, you know. And truly, fellowship is with the Father and Jesus Christ, his Son. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and we declare it unto you. What's the message? That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So that's the message in this series. That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. You know, many of us talk about the message, the message, the message. Well, what is the message? Well, the message is that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. We want that to sink in, because if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, then we lie and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and so on. So God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now let's talk about that. Let's talk about how even Jesus represented himself as the light, and how the scriptures spoke of him as the light. We're going to see how light moved and operated even in the Garden of Eden. We're going to see how that light has walked, throughout the generations of man. And even in the scriptures, you know, what that light means. On the other hand, we'll also consider darkness and what that means as well. Because Jesus spoke about darkness too. He didn't only speak about light, he spoke about darkness. He said, such things as if your, eye be single, then your whole body will be light. But there's a problem with your eye, then, the eye being a portal of the body, darkness enters into that body. And how great is that darkness indeed? We're going to cover all these things. This is just a high-level summary of what we might be looking into and diving into. The attributes that light brings, we will be covering. The attributes of darkness, we will be covering. The attributes of God himself, we will be covering. We'll see how it parallels to light, and so on and so forth. And there are many scriptures. We talk about light all the time. I mention light just about every day that I stand in the message of the Lord to preach, always quoting from Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of God's word brings light. I say that every day. And also gives understanding to the simple. Furthermore, the word of God says in Psalm 115, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So one way to get this light is from the word of God. But before we go ahead, this is all just summary. We need to understand, what Bible actually says about light and darkness. And then relate that to where we are in the calendar of God and what he is doing. Praise the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, John chapter 1. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, the light. We're going to see that in a minute. Here it's called the Word. In a minute, he's going to call him the light. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. We can begin to see some of the attributes of light. The light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Now, he's addressing him as the light. You can see it's capital L now. Bear witness of the light. Not just bear witness of light, but bear witness of the light. Now, talking about the light, he said, that all men through him might believe. John himself was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. You can see a lot of reference to that light, capital L. Now, that light, referring to Christ, was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, so you can see that one of the things, that the true light does, one of its attributes, is to give light and life. Because he said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And he was called the light. And so, really, he gives life and light to everyone that comes into the world. Unfortunately, everyone that comes into the world is born into darkness. We're going to be talking about that as well. Now, we must recognize that light. And here's another summary of where we will get to finally. Psalm 36 verse 9 says, in thy light we shall see light or have light. Praise the Lord. So let's talk about light in general. Well, light, as you know, generally speaking, which I alluded to at times, you know, we need light for us to be able to see, you know, like if it is dark, you know, how do we see in the dark? Well, light is what helps us to see in the dark. Well, if it is not dark, then what does light do? So we are going to be looking at that as well. Now, Jesus, in one of his teachings, when he was talking about light, this is going to be fundamental to this lesson. And I've talked about it before, but this is going to be a complete series on light and darkness. Jesus said in John chapter 11, he said, look, there are 12 hours in the day. You know, are there not 12 hours in the day? Jesus said, this is John chapter 11 and verse 9. If a man walk in the day, during the 12 hours of the day. Now, this is dividing, instead of looking at the day as 24 hours, you look at it as 12 hours in the evening and the morning of the first day. So, the light part of the day is what Jesus is talking about here. When you walk, anybody walks during the day when the sun is out or whatever, he said, well, such a person who does not stumble because he sees the light of day. I can see the light of this world. And remember, you know, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, he said, well, God commissioned these lights, two great lights, and other things also. He said, well, let them be for signs, let them be for wonders, let them be lights in the firmament to give light upon the earth and so forth. So these lights were there. Now, when the you know, when we have that daytime light, everybody can see. You don't need to stumble around. But when it is nighttime, it's dark, there is no light of day, then people are likely to stumble. So most of the time, well, thank God for technology, now we have lights. You can have street lights, you can have car lights, you can have lights in your house, you can even carry a flashlight. I mean, there's all kinds of ways. Even before we had all these technology advances, people created light for themselves in different ways. Maybe they carry a lamp, you know, the burning fire from the lamp would give them some light, and so on and so forth. You know, so in the olden days, lamps provided the light. Before the understanding of electricity and all that was around it to provide light the way we know it today, the people would just use a lamp. There are many things that the scripture talks about lamp too, you know. You know, Jesus talked about that lamp, you know, let your lamps be burning, you know, filled with oil and so forth. Let it always be burning. Let it never go out. The scripture says, let the priests even crank it up, you know, every day. There's a fire on the altar, a fire in your lamp. you know, let it be burning and watching for your Lord when he comes, that you can open unto him immediately, you know. So these things Jesus talked about. But in this place, it's talking about the reason the person will stumble in darkness. And this is a profound pronunciation that's going to go deep into the heart of this series. The reason that person that walks when there is no light of the world, you know, that during the night hours, the reason they will stumble, Jesus said, is because, he didn't say it's because the man is carrying no light with him. It's not because he doesn't have a flashlight or street light or even light in his house. No. And this is the spiritual revelation of the message that we'll be talking about in this series. What Jesus is saying here. He said, the man will stumble because he has no light inside of him. That's very profound. Nobody thinks about that when you go into a dark room. The first thing you do when you go into a dark room is instinctively you reach for the light switch. Nobody is thinking that light is inside of me. I have enough light in me to light this room. Nobody thinks of that. What we do is reach for the light switch and turn on the light. And if the, you know, electricity goes out, there's places where they have power failure all the time. Then you find some other substitute. Maybe you have a flashlight. Maybe you have a generator. Maybe you have something to provide that light. But in the concept of what Jesus is saying here, that's all artificial lighting. There is a real lighting that is on the inside. And Jesus said, if you have that real light that is inside of you, you will not need that flashlight. Because the person that stumbled, maybe they didn't have a flashlight. Maybe there is no street light. Maybe the light is out in their house and they stumble. See, because they needed that artificial external light in order for them to see their way around. But there is a man that whether or not that artificial lighting is there, whether or not he has a flash light, he has a lamp, he has a light bulb in his house, the street light, light from his headlamps in his car, whether or not those things are there, this man, he still can see. He does not stumble. There's something about this person. He has light on the inside. Hallelujah. That is so powerful. Now, that's what we're going to be exploring in this series. And the capacity that light that's on the inside can bring or brings. We're not talking about external light now, which is what all of us usually think about. When Jesus made a declaration such as in John chapter 8 and verse 12 and said, as long as I'm in this world, I am the light of the world, which John also wrote about. He's the light that lightens every man that comes into the world. What was he talking about? I mean, was he talking about when you're going into dark places, you carry Jesus in your hand as a flashlight so that you can see? I doubt it. But if you have the light of life inside of you, according to John 11 and verse 10, then even though there may be gross darkness all around, you still will not stumble. This concept of light is born and throughout the scriptures, is carried throughout the scriptures. Isaiah talks about it. He calls it the glory of God. In Isaiah chapter 60, arise and shine, for thy light is come, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Yeah. But he's talking about the light. He's talking about light versus darkness. That's a good scripture when you're looking at light versus darkness, which is, again, part of the main lessons that we are going to bring in this series. Right now, I'm just talking to you about some places, some references. This will get deeper as we go along. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Well, he said, behold, darkness. Chuck, this is a comparison or contrast between darkness and light. Darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness shall cover the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Think about that. He's talking about darkness, but he's talking about the glory of the Lord. So in this place, he's equating the glory of the Lord to your light. Your light will come because the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. So the glory of the Lord is what furnishes us with light. Not the lamp that we carry, not the light switch that you turn on, but the glory of the Lord furnishes us with light. And he said that glory will be seen upon thee. Now, that glory will radiate like light, actually. He said the Gentiles, unbelievers, shall come to thy light, which is the glory of God. And kings shall come to the brightness of thy rising. Hallelujah. The glory of God in you will be a reflection of the light that is in you. And it causes people to see it. You know, Jesus was talking about many things in the Sermon on the Mount. And he said, well, let your light so shine before men that people will see. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. People will see good works, glorify your Father in heaven. Now, this also tells us some of the attributes of light. Light causes, you know, an impact in our lives that makes us do good works. It's the light. Let the light shine and others will see. So what they are seeing is the good works. But Jesus calls it light. You know, that's what they are seeing. The light that is inside is what is making us to be like Christ. Now, Jesus did not only say that he is the light of this world. He said that, that's for sure. But he also said, and we read that in John 8 and 12. You should be taking down the scriptures, a Bible study. But we also said, he also said that his believers are also the light of the world. In the book of this same John, I mean, this same Matthew 5 that we're in, you know, he said, well, in verses 13, he was talking about salt. And in verse 14, he was talking about light. He said, well, ye are the light of the world. He called himself the light. He called his disciples the light, because they are a reflection of him. And he says, well, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. In other words, you cannot hide this light. You can't hide it. The light is going to shine. And it was, in order for him to explain it better, he's telling the people, like, look, because that's what they use in those sticks, candles, candlesticks, lamps and stuff. They didn't have the electricity that we did today. And he said, well, when you light a candle, what do you do with it? You put it on a candlestick. You put it up so you can give light to everybody that's in the house. You don't go put it under the table, under the bed. Do you no good there? You put it up. I even till today, even though we now have, you know, a greater advancement in technology that gives us electricity, I use electricity to produce light. It's still the same concept. Most of the time, light is placed a little higher, you know, in the building so that it can give light to all. You know, there are some light fixtures that are, you know, embedded in the ceiling or upper part of the wall, chandeliers, different things. They hang from the bottom, top, give light to everything that is beneath. I mean, that's generally the case. If you're driving on the street, you see the street lights on a long, tall pole. It's higher than everything. So it can give light to everybody or everything that is beneath. That's usually the case. You know, light is shining down. You know, and Jesus said, well, if you know yourself to be the carrier of that light, then it cannot be hidden. You can't hide it. You got to let people see it. You know, you got to shine with that light. You cannot be a secret service Christian, so to speak. Nobody really knows you, I believe. You're in stealth mode all the time. You're just hiding. You know, Jesus said, no. You got to demonstrate that light, and people will see it because of what you are doing. See? That's how they will see the light. They may not understand the light, but they will see the impact that that light is producing. Now, these are for believers. Now, everybody that's born into this world comes in, there are points of darkness initially. But Bible says that Jesus is that light that lightens every man, you know, that comes into this world. And so we are commanded, you know, to walk in the light. We must walk in the light. I'm going to give you all some other scriptures about walking in the light, and then we're going to go to the beginning and see when this light was right there in the garden and what God had in mind and so on and so forth until now. You know, in the book of 1 John chapter 2, we also read about, you know, the attributes of light. The attributes of light. An impact, you know, that light can have with us. You know, brethren, he said, 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you heard from the beginning. You already had it. Remember, this is then is the message that you heard from the beginning. In chapter 1, he said that. That God is light and in him no darkness at all. In chapter 2, he's saying, well, I'm writing no new commandment to you, but the same one that you heard from the beginning. You know, the old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. But now I write a new commandment unto you, which is really not a new commandment, he's saying. This is the same commandment. And I'm writing to you now. Because the darkness is now past. This whole message about commandment or no commandment and so forth is all about darkness and light. He's saying, the darkness is now past, and the true light now shineth. Now he that saith is in the light, and hates his brother. Now here's another attribute of the light. It's love, your brother. Now, he that says he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. So again, this is darkness and light, comparing the attributes. Darkness, you know, the darkness that's inside, how it manifests on the outside is a lack of love or hatred towards people. Lack of forgiveness and all these things. Yeah, it indicates that there is darkness in that person. Now, he that loveth his brother is, you know, abides in the light. There is no occasion of stumbling in him. that that light is inside of him. He doesn't need to stumble. Jesus said this man will stumble because he has no light. But this one will not stumble because he loves his brother. There's an aspect of light in him. You know, he has that light. Now, he that hateth his brother is in darkness. I mean, he's making it very plain. This is an attribute of light and an attribute of darkness. A person that cannot forgive, that is so engrossed in this thing of unforgiveness and this bitterness, is really a reflection of the darkness that is inside of them. If they had light in them, they would love their brother. They would forgive their brother. You know, so now, remember, God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Relate that to what we are reading here. How can you say that you are a part of God when your light, your life is full of darkness? That cannot be. There is no darkness in God at all. For us to be part of God, we got to expunge. That's right. All the darkness. Because you cannot be a part of God. You can claim to be. He said, you know, he that says, that's right, claim. People claim that they are in the light. But they are walking in unforgiveness. He said, no, there's really darkness in them. That's what he's saying here. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness. And knoweth not where he's going. You know, despite all the other things he's doing. The hatred, the unforgiveness, the bitterness in their heart towards their brother causes them to remain in darkness until now. What do you say? Because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, this is a dimension of reality that people have not caught on to. That when you are not walking in love, you're actually walking in darkness. And there is no darkness in God. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Now we're going to see the severity and the profoundness of that pronunciation in this series. Now, let me read a few other scriptures to you as well. In the book of John chapter 12, we're still coming back to this first John, but let me read John chapter 12, and let's read from verse 35. You see, Jesus said, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goeth. Same thing that John was writing. You're just basically quoting the words of Jesus, saying it in another way. Now, while you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may be children of light. You know, you got to believe in that light. And if you believe in that light, you've got to act in the light. Because believing is action with faith. Now, if you say you believe in the light, but your walks indicate darkness, well, John said he's a liar. The truth is not in him. You know, so that's another thing to consider. Consider what he also says, you know, by the time you get to verse 46 of this John chapter, chapter 12. I am come as a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. That's it. John said, well, he's that light that lighteneth every man that comes into the world. Now let's go back to 1 John, the epistle of 1 John, and read some of this. 1 John, you might call him the apostle of love, some say so, but he also an apostle of light. Let's see what other things he says in 1 John chapter 3. This light also relates to you know, our relationship with others. It's that light, right? So let's read 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. Now, how many times is he going to say this? Saying it again here. This is the message that you heard from the beginning. Always talking about the message. What is the message? He said the message is God is light and in him is no darkness at all. The message is love one another even as I have loved you. That's the law of Christ. You know, it's a message. You know, he said what? You should love one another. Not as Cain was of that wicked one. Cain was of the devil. Slew his brother. And why? Well, because his own works were evil and his brothers were good. He was envious. Now, marvel not, my brethren, he said, if the world hates you. Why? Well, because you have passed from death unto life. Because we love the brethren. How do we know that we have passed from death to life? In this series, we'll also be talking about not only light and darkness, but also life and death. We're going to see how they relate together. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Now, you know, he said, well, it begins to give us a comparison of these things. Also in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. He would write similar things again. Beloved, let us love one another. Now he's talking about love. He already said, if you hate your brother, you're in darkness. So now he's using love to demonstrate the attributes of light. He said, well, if you walk in love, then that means you have light inside of you. If you walk in hatred, then that means you have darkness in you, and darkness is not a part of God. Say, little children, these are the things that he's telling you. Let us love one another, for God is love. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In another place, he said, God is light. 1 John 1, 5. Now, here he said, God is love. So we see, the light is the love. And to walk in love, or to walk in the light, is to walk in love. Now, he said, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was the love of God manifested toward us, because he sent his only begotten Son into the world. That's right. You know, to die for our sins. And Jesus came into, you know, the world, you know, for that. That the world through him might live. So, the light that Jesus brings is what gives us life. You know, and John is talking about it. Listen to verse 20 of this same chapter 4 of 1 John. In verse 20 and verse 21, he says the same thing. You know, he says, look, if a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he say he loves God whom he has never seen? This then is the commandment that we have from him. If you say you love God, well, make sure you love your brother also. That's how we can really know it. You know, so we see an attribute of the light here being expressed through love of the brethren. Praise the Lord. Powerful stuff. Now, let me go back to the beginning and talk about light and darkness, life and death, righteousness and unrighteousness. Think of a spectrum of light and darkness. You know, on the far left, you have these elements. You have darkness, you have sin, and you have death. On the far right, you know, you have light, right? You have life and you have righteousness. Now, when they started, that spectrum was actually reversed. The life and the righteousness was on the left side. That's where they started out. You know, and due to disobedience and the fall and so forth, they lost something. Romans 3:23 describes it as the glory of God. It said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. Remember, Isaiah 60 says, the glory of God is the light. So when they lost the light, they were now in darkness. And then unrighteousness came in, you know, through unbelief, through disobedience. And death also came in. But God said, the day you do this, you will die. So now there's a package on the left. That package consists of sin. It consists of darkness. And it consists of death. Now, the purpose of our journey with God now, we talk about walking with God, is for us to move from that place, which is reversed now. They started out with light, but now in darkness. Started out with the glory of God, now, you know, they are in sin and unrighteousness. Started out with the life of God, now death has been imposed upon them. And death passed on to all. Because of one man's sins, death passed on all, according to Romans chapter 5. So now we must transition from that place on the far left to the far right. And unfortunately, the rate at which death, darkness, and sin catching up with people that are trying to get away from that part, going towards the right, where you have life, light, and righteousness, you have to be able to outrun or outpace, you know, death, because it's catching up with everybody. The darkness is catching up with everybody. You know, there was a man that actually figured out how to outpace that stuff. His name was Enoch. He outran it, if you want to call it that. Yet as he was pressing towards the light, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18 describes this process of being changed. You are in darkness, but you are being transformed gradually into the likeness of Christ from glory to glory. You are approaching that light. And so, wow, you really can't do it in the flesh. Nobody can approach that light in the flesh, but the Holy Spirit, and you're walking in the Spirit, you're moving towards that light, you know, moving towards that light. You're shedding that darkness. Because remember, God is light. So he's on this side, far right. There's no darkness in him. It's all light. It's no darkness at all. Darkness is what separates him. You know, so when you look at it, you know, like Solomon was saying, and he didn't quite understand it. He said, well, you said that you would dwell in the thick darkness. God doesn't dwell in the thick darkness, but he dwells behind, you know, the thick darkness. It's like darkness separates us from seeing the glory of God. Now, as you move, if you're able to pierce the veil and move more and more towards that light, shedding every trace of darkness, the way, you know, as long as there's any, even atom of darkness in there, can't be a part of God. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. When we still have darkness in our hearts, unforgiveness, hatred, sin of any kind, it's all darkness. We can't be fully unionized with him. But if we can figure out how to get rid of all that darkness, outpace that darkness, actually outrun it. Darkness is catching up with them. Death was catching up with them as well. you know, the light of God that was in them started to fizzle out. They used to live hundreds of years, even 900 years, some of them did. But after a while, it just started diminishing. The light was phasing out as darkness became more and more. Death was in them more and more. One man figured out, I got to get beyond all of this. And being transformed, was being transformed. The more he walked with God, the more he sought God, the more he approached towards that light, the more he was changed. One day, see, and this is the secret. One day when it became 100% light, it was infused with that light and it's gone. See, but he couldn't do it as long as there was still some traces of darkness. He's getting away from that darkness as far as he could by walking with God and pressing toward that light every day. And something was happening, changing him from glory to glory. And wow. At some point in time, boom! It was like a fusion. When he got into that light, it was completely light. It was just like magnetized into that light. And it's gone. Just like that. And it was nowhere to be found. Wow. Now think about it. That's powerful. And let me tell you something else. I'm going to drop this today, and then I'm going to develop this concept later on in this series. Now, the person that is in that darkness is a easy target for a lot of things. Sin, unrighteousness, even death. Because that's what Adam and the rest of them were waiting to die. They were all waiting to die. And they all did die. One man that did not die, we know he had to be light. Because there's no way you can be infused into God unless you are light. For in him is no darkness at all. Fast forward to Christ. This will help you to understand this, how deep this thing is. Fast forward to Christ. Christ says, I am the light of this world. Well, in him is no darkness at all. There was something in the mind of God that Christ will be made sin for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For he who knew no sin was made sin for us. Now, sin is darkness. Think about it. Christ, who knew no sin, was made sin for us. So Christ was turned to darkness. Think about it. Christ was that light, capital L. But he would be turned into darkness. Because the moment that God made him sin, put all the sins of the world upon him, Christ became darkness. Now stay with me. And he became darkness. Even the world around him revolted. The light was snuffed out. And in Matthew 27, there were 3 hours of that daytime that it was dark. All over the face of the earth. And that time was just dark. Because the light was made darkness. Christ was made sin. Now think about it. Now when Christ, the whole time, before the Lord put all the darkness upon him, he was completely light. Death could not get him. There was no way death could get him while he was in the light, while he was that light. You try to throw him off the cliff, you just walk through the midst of him. There was just no way. His time was not yet, but he knew his time was coming. And when he was in the garden, in Luke chapter 22, and he was praying, the Bible says that he was praying. There was something he was dreading. He was dreading something. And he was praying, let this cup be removed from me. Nevertheless, let thy will be done. What cup? You know,
it was going to become darkness. He knew it. And when you are in darkness, you cannot be a part of God. It's that simple. In him is no darkness at all. Christ dreaded the moment of darkness. That's what he was praying about. All that stuff of praying and blood was coming out of his head. He dreaded the moment of darkness. Because in that moment of darkness, Jesus said all his life. He said in John chapter 8, verse 29. I mean, he even talked about it. He was happy about it. He said, look, I and my Father are one. John 10, 30. John 8, 29. My Father is always with me. Has never left me. God, I do always those things that are pleasing his sight. The Father is with me. I am in him. He's in me. And so forth. I mean, he was always talking about this. Well, glad to represent like that. But one day, he was doomed to become darkness. He knew it. But it was all the plan of God. You know, and he knew that that moment was coming. He dreaded that moment. He said, well, because he knew he would be separated from God in that moment. Because God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. And if you become sin and you become darkness, you'll be separated. And in that moment, when it happened, the Bible says that there was darkness even upon the face of the earth. Well, let's read it. Read it for yourself in case you think that this is just some wild story that I am telling. You know, so let's read it. First of all, before it happened, now from the sixth hour, as the thing was looming in the spiritual realm, Christ was already becoming darkness. For God was putting all the sins of the world into him. This is Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46 or verse 45. Now, from the sixth hour, you know, and so forth, there was darkness over the land till about the ninth hour. For 3 hours, there was darkness. The sixth hour was like 12 noon. But they start counting from like 6 a.m. That should have been the brightest part of the day, but it was dark for 3 solid hours. The light of this world was eclipsed, you know, because God started to put the sins of the whole world upon Christ. He was going to bear that thing, you know. He'd been talking about it. He'd been preparing his heart for it. But the moment is now here. And in that moment, as it began to happen, the light of this world was going to be snuffed out. Darkness, sin was going to be put upon him. It would become darkness. And when he became darkness, after about 3 hours of that transition in the spirit happening, he cried out, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Eli, Eli, lama, sabachthani. Why thou forsaken? Why do you think that God forsook him? Why? Because he became darkness. And in God, there is no darkness at all. God cannot be associated with darkness. Not even if that darkness was upon Christ. Couldn't do it. God turned his back on Christ. And Christ, this is what he was dreading the whole time. That he was praying. Blood was coming out of his head. Because he knew it was coming. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why has thou forsaken me? God forsook him in that moment. Because of me, because of you. And that gave an opening for death to get him. See, as long as Christ was that full light, death could never get him. He had to become darkness in order for death to get him. This is so profound, ladies and gentlemen. There are people that will not see death. they will be transformed into complete light. And they will be infused with God. And they will leave the earth without seeing death. In the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, when they are changed into light, they will be gone. Glory to God. You know, that's it. And if it happens in our time, to God be the glory. And let me say it this way then. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. And we will be gone. When you are completely transformed into light, you're gone. That's it. Now, death cannot get you at that time. Death could not get Christ as long as he was the light. He had to become darkness in order for death to find a place. He said, he that breaketh the hedge, serpent will bite. Well, God broke that intentionally by the determinate counsel of the foreknowledge of God. He determined that in that moment, Christ will bear all the sins of the world and he will become darkness. And even the world demonstrated it. 3 hours, there was a transition happening. And in those 3 hours, when it was happening, transition freeing from that light to darkness because all the sins of the world were laid upon him. When it was darkness, the Father forsook him. Ladies and gentlemen, if the Father could forsake the Son, which Jesus all his life talked about it, my Father has never left me. I am my Father always one. I do always those things that are pleasing in his sight. But in this one moment, by the determinate counsel of God, before the world began, God preordained that that would happen. Christ knew it too. And he dreaded that moment. And in that one moment, for a second or however long it lasted, the Father turned his back on Christ. And Christ cried out. Everybody heard it. They thought he was calling for Elijah. He said, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? So do you think that those words were made up, or did God actually forsake him? You know, I guarantee you the answer is God actually did forsake him. You know, for a moment though. But the psalmist prophesied about it to the glory of God. You know, you would not leave my soul in hell. You know, that was all planned. That was all a plan. But in the moment that he was darkness, death was able to get him. Now, God himself cannot die because he's immortal. He's the immortal, invisible God. In order for Christ, who was also in the form of God, to die, he had to die as a man. He was the man that sinned, and the man was going to have to pay for it. But God cannot find any man that could pay for it. Because we are all in the same nature. So in his mind, he already knew all these things. He had already ordained that his own son that came out from inside of him. Jesus said in John 8 and 42, I came forth and proceeded out of God. You know, and he became flesh. Now, as a man, grew up as a baby and all of that. As a grown man now, he will pay for everything. It was all the part of the plan. Glory to God for that plan. He'll pay for it all. And God will accept it too. But the price that Christ will pay, part of that price will be separation from the Father for a moment. Or for some time. It actually lasted more than a moment. Because he carried the sins of this world. And all those sins made him to turn from the light to darkness. And as when he was darkness, in God there is no darkness at all. So God forsook him. It was all planned though, for a moment. Christ didn't,
In his mind, he didn't want any part of that. Lord, let me take this cup from me, Father. What was the cup? Well, he knew what was coming. But nevertheless, let thy will be done. I know, I've got to go through it. But he struggled with it because he knew he would be separated from it. It never happened before, but he did for your sake and for mine. And in that moment, death got him. The only way he could die was when he was outside that light. That's it. You know, when he became darkness, that's when death could get him. Because he says, you know, after he had said that, straight away, you know, they gave him some water and vinegar and all that stuff. I mean, vinegar to fulfill the scriptures. And then, you know, after he cried again, probably the same thing again, you know, my God, as I forsaken, he cried again. He lamented in the spirit again. Then he gave up the ghost and died. See, death can only get someone that is not completely light. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's a summary of it all. You say, well, all those people that have died, were they not in the light? Maybe they were not completely light. If they were, there's no way death can get them. It's illustrated clearly here. Death had to wait for the moment that Christ was darkness. And in that moment, he was separated. It was like a gap. It was the gap that the devil and death needed to get him. But it was all orchestrated by God. There was no mistake. It wasn't that Christ himself sinned and broke a hedge. No, it was your sins and my sins that caused that hedge to be broken for Christ. And the death, who was a serpent, could get him. But what do we learn from that? Well, the reverse is also true. Glory to God. If we can figure out by the grace of the Holy Spirit and through the revelation of the Word of God, especially at this end of time, if we can figure out how to outpace that spirit of darkness and death and unrighteousness and all of that, and stay in the light and be being, that's right, be being transformed. It's a continuous process. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We are being changed. If we can figure out how to remain in that process, being changed, not oscillating back and forth, not we're today looking a little more like Christ, tomorrow we're looking more like ourselves. Then the next day, it's like a wheel that is spinning in both directions. You're not going to make any progress that way. You know, you got to keep the wheel moving in the same direction only. You know, we're being changed from glory to glory. The darkness is being expunged. There are many areas of darkness. Holy Spirit will be revealing them and expunging them from our lives. You know, and the last darkness itself is death that will be defeated. But all the elements that lead to that, all the little foxes that spoil the vine, every unrighteousness is sin. And everything in our lives that is unright, in other words, is not right. It's not after the nature of God. It's not after the walking in the nature of Christ. It's darkness. And we have to expunge it, you know. And when we can be transformed completely into light, when that moment happens, you're translated. And it doesn't always have to be a group translation, ladies and gentlemen. Enoch was not translated in a group. Elijah did not live in a group. They left alone. And people think that, oh, we will be translated as in a group. Yeah. See, that is the mass harvesting. You know, the farmer in the harvesting season, when the season comes, he at first he has the in his hand a basket. That's all he carries. He's going to go through the vineyard and handpick the fruit that is ripe. It's a little yellow here. Most of them are green. A little yellow, a little yellow, a little yellow. They can all fit into a basket. So it goes with a basket. And they don't all ripen at the same time. They ripen at different times. God uses nature to teach us these things. And then he'll go through and pick. I see a ripe one here. He looks again. I see a ripe one there. I see a ripe one there. You know. He may come back later on. You know, so a few weeks later, I see a few more ripe ones he picks. But one day, when the harvest is fully consummated, you know, when everything, you know, and they are all ripe, he cannot use a basket. He's bringing a truck because there are too many to fit in the basket. But over time, the little ripe here, the little ripe there, you know, that's the individuals that are getting into it one by one here. At the end, it'll be all. They will all come together until we all come to the fullness, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, something is happening at the end that will push. That's a last push. Yeah. God has been making many pushes, you know. The last call, that third pull is happening. The pushing. God is going to do something incredible. It's happening. But we can experience a gradual process of it right now. And God is making preparations. And in this series, we will explore all of the difference and why we continue to oscillate back and forth between light and darkness. Why that wheel is spinning forward and then backwards and spinning forward and then backwards. Whereas God wants it to constantly be rolling forward into a way where you looked at the mirror yesterday, you look at the mirror today. The difference is the change that is happening. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says we are transformed into the same image like Christ. We're looking more and more like him every time. You know, when you look at it, you're being changed to that glory. From glory to glory. Today's glory must be greater than yesterday. I must look more like Christ today than I did yesterday. And tomorrow, by the grace of God, I must look more like Christ than I am doing today. That's the transformation process. That's the process that taking us from darkness to light. Completely. Now, we have the attribute of becoming light. You know, we have these attributes. God deposited these attributes in us. It's all the things that God did. He put some things in them. Even fruit. He put the attribute to reproduce them. Animals put the attribute to reproduce. Well, God himself wanted to reproduce himself because he had the attribute of being a father. He had the attributes of being a creator. He had to create something. He had to father some people. So he had these attributes. And he himself wanted to reproduce himself in man. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And that was the plan. And his plan was to create what I call God kind. That's right. God kind. Which today we call mankind, but his intention was God kind in our image, after our kind. Cattle after his kind, birds after their kind, fruit trees after their kind, fish after their kind, God after his kind. Glory to God. You know, and that God kind is you. It is me. And we must carry the image. As we have borne the image of the earthy, so we must also bear the image of the heavenly. Ha! Glory to God. Now, those two images, they are different. Image of the earthy is we're looking like Adam. should really be looking like God. But, you know, we are looking like our old self. Call the old man. Image of the earthy. That's why the Bible calls it that. You know. When you, as you are being transformed, then you are changing more and more into the image of the heavenly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 49. So powerful. As we have borne the image of the earthy, so we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Glory to God. You know, so in the image of the heavenly, there is, to get there, there's a transformation process from the image of the earthy to the image of the heavenly. From darkness to light. From death to life. From unrighteousness and sin to a life of righteousness and a life in Christ. This is the process of walking with God. It's a journey of a lifetime. He can't get there in one day. It took Enoch, actually, it took him 300 years. Now, 300 years was not a long time in their days, because many of them lived more than double that time. Some of them lived triple that time. So it wasn't really, it was like a third of the normal lifetime in those days. And so for us too, it may take some time, but we got to keep the wheel moving in the right direction. You know, and Jesus demonstrated this by spending even the first 30 years of his life, quote unquote, in hiding, in preparation. And so something has been going on in our lives for years, but it's coming to a head. Glory to God. And God is going to get the harvest. He never loses anything. All that the Father has given me, I've lost nothing. Except the son of perdition, so that the scripture may be fulfilled. We know that. But the rest of them, I will lose none of them. But I will raise them up at the last day. Glory to God. Raise you up at the last day, whether you are in the grave, you're coming out of there. Whether you are on the ground, you're taking on a new nature and coming up. Raise you up from the ground physically, or raise you up from the grave, doesn't matter. Wherever, he will raise you up at the last day. Those of us who are privileged to be hearing these things, Jesus said, I thank God. I thank you, Father, O righteous Father, that it has pleased you to hide these things from the wise and the prudent, but to reveal them unto babes. For so it seemed good in thy sight to do so. Now, unto us is given to know the things that God has freely given us. Unto us is given. Jesus said to them, it's not given. To them, it's in parables. They won't see it, but to you, it is given. Now, if to us it is given, let us therefore not frustrate the grace of God. Let us do all we can. We can't do it in the flesh, but we must be willing. And even we cannot be willing except God makes us to be willing. See, it's all a mystery. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 says, it is God that works in you even to be willing, let alone to do what he wants you to do. It is God. But all he wants of you to say is, Lord, here I am. Take me, make me willing, and use me for thy glory. And that glory will be the revelation of the light. That's right. The light will so shine. People will see and come to that light. As it's something that is going to draw people. Because now you are shining. It's as a light shining. The Bible says we're shining in this crooked world as lights. You know, shine in this crooked world as lights. Shine in this crooked world as lights. I'm going to say it again. We shine in this crooked world as lights. To God be the glory. Now, I have summarized all that we are going to do in this series in this one lesson. but there is more. And I am going to, by the grace of God, go deeper. But you heard it, most of it, today. But there's a place where we are going with this. And we will see what the Lord will tell us. Every day throughout this series, I don't know however long it's going to take, but every day throughout this series, we learn something more. The book of Philippians chapter 2, from verse 14 to about 16, after we have been told to have this mind of Christ in us, well, we are also told how we ourselves must be. Praise the Lord. You know, he says that, you know, do that ye may be, in verse 15 of Philippians 2, blameless and harmless. That's right. Blameless, harmless. The sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, are holding forth the word of life. There is a shining that God is looking for. Even the whole world is looking for it. They're called the shining forth of the sons of God. Some people call it the manifestation of the sons of God, according to Romans chapter 8. But it is the revelation of the glory of the Christ, the light that is in them. Tomorrow we'll go into some more, by the grace of God, some more contrasts between light and darkness. Thank you for listening. To God be the glory. I'm going to pray. I say, Lord, I thank you. The revelation of the word of God. I thank you, Lord, that we are called into light, not in darkness. And we have passed from darkness unto light and from death unto life because we love the brethren. To God be the glory. By this we know that we are passed from death unto life. By this we know that we are passed from darkness unto light because we love God, keep his commandments, and love the brethren. And I pray, Lord, that we will understand these things. Give us understanding. Paul said, I speak as unto wise men. Understand ye what I say. May the Lord grant us understanding. Even as it is written, the entrance of his word brings light and gives understanding. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. He's not finished with us yet, but he's transforming us gradually more and more the likeness of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.